It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. TheBerkshireEdge.com, of course, is online. They are there updating news stories every single day. And we get to speak to them once a week. And we just touch upon some of the stories that are in the BerkshireEdge.com. And with both Marcy and David. And we say good morning. Good morning,
Marcy.
Good
morning. You know, the Breakfast Club reminds me of Don McNeil's Breakfast Club. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
When I was a kid, I used to listen to that, and I can remember "Good Morning, Breakfast Clubbers."
That's
he
right.
had a little song that he sang.
And you were
so
asked.
Are you gonna? What I want to know is, what is your song?
Our song is Robin Hood, Robin Hood, and his band of friends.
but you see, with
Don McNeil.
Robin Hood.
Once a show, they asked you to get up and sing the song and march around the table.
Right. They did.
You'll never guess who else listened.
That's right.
You.
No.
Marshall. I was a radio addict from...
That's how you
so
get up.
I remember listening to that show in the hospital when I'd had my appendix out.
Well, it just seemed like you were having your appendix out.
No, I mean, not
I know.
While. I was recuperating.
Yeah,
the kid.
Right. Well, let's go on to what people, some of the stories that we're highlighting today for the BerkshireEdge.com. Number one, U.S. Representative Joe Kennedy III was in Pittsfield announcing his campaign to seek the U.S. Senate nomination.
Well, this is very interesting. I mean, we're going to have a very contentious race here for Senate with, you know, Joe Kennedy. I mean, he's an impressive young man, and he's certainly got the name behind him. So he doesn't have to worry about name recognition in Massachusetts or probably anywhere in the country.
This is an edge cast. Ben Hillman, our videographer, was there at an announcement where Kennedy was in Pittsfield announcing his intent to challenge fellow Democrat Ed Markey in the sitting senator in the primary. So these are Democrats. These are feuding Democrats, you might say.
Well, they are Democrats. So doing what Democrats do best: eat their own. That's right.
Yeah.
But that's just the Democratic Party nationwide. Actually, I don't know enough about the race, but it almost seems like to me, once again, it seems like there's two different wings of the party that are really at one another.
Perhaps, but it's a younger generation. Yeah. Ed Markey has been, in a congressman for many years, and
his first term.
The first term as senator, and I think Joe Kennedy III, it turns out, is calculating that now he has to make his move now to go into a more national prominence. So,
Markey is not all that popular in the state, so he's vulnerable.
And there's also an interesting element to it, because as Marcy pointed out, it's one thing if you have no historical name recognition, but you come out as a Kennedy the third, it's a little different than just coming out as Joe Blow, if you will.
Yeah, well, there were two other Joe Blows that already came out to challenge Markey, but they're going to fall by the wayside in the face of Joe Kennedy the third.
Yeah, so
they have no recognition compared to him.
As I say, this is an edge cast. It's a video, well done video by Ben Hillman. So you get a chance to get a little taste of what Joe Kennedy is like. He's quite impressive, actually. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Well, this next story, and you can explain more to me, in Great Barrington, the select board has rejected the advice of the Lake Mansfield Task Force. They voted to keep the Lake Mansfield Road open and one-way. The road is on the banks of the lake, and the roadbed is falling into the lake. Are there plans to fix that?
That's the point. They're going to fix it, but they're going to make it one way rather than, that's what their the select board is suggesting. It's a very popular spot, but its access to it is been compromised by the fact that the little access road, at least from one side, from the south side, has been it goes right along the banks of the river, and it's of the lake, and it's falling into the lake, and so that they need to repair that road, but they're going to make it a little narrower, and repave it, but they're going to make it one way, which is which in the circumstances of Great Barrington right now, there are a number of bridges that are out. So getting around in Great Barrington and out of Great Barrington is a little bit more complicated than it used to be.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, by making it one lane, sooner or later they're going to have to do it over again because the erosion won't stop.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, I think they're going to have to shore up that road.
Yeah.
That road somehow. It's not for the the access to that lake and its little recreation area and beach is you can get to it from the south side of the lake or from the north side, and the north side is a two-lane road there is going to remain a two-lane road. They're only talking about the road that goes from the south side of the lake, from the hill area, what they call the hill area of Great Barrington, to the recreation area. So it's not entirely one way the whole from both sides.
There's other ways in and out. There's
yeah,
not just
there
one.
Are. And it's a little bit of an inconvenience, but it's probably going to preserve the lake a little bit by doing it this way.
All right.
But the bigger story, and I was distracted for a minute, so I don't know if David said that. But you know, we have two bridges out in Great Barrington. We're seeing the failure of so much of our infrastructure. All these bridges were built about the same time, and they're all failing at about the same time. But we have two important bridges out in Great Barrington.
Over the Housatonic River.
Over the Housatonic River. And so people are searching around for alternate routes to get where they have to go, because they are major bridges, and they close off major routes. So now, although the committee had recommended closing Lake Mansfield Road, if we close it now, it's cutting off yet another important thoroughfare for getting around town and getting in and out of town now that the bridges are closed. So those bridges were still open when the committee made that recommendation. And I think what the select board did was realize that, you know, if they did it now, they closed it now, it would be even more of a bottleneck and even more difficult for people in town to get around. Now, there are some people, of course, who don't want it closed because there's going to be more traffic in their neighborhood, and that's a little self-serving. But, you know, for the rest of us, it would be a major inconvenience to have yet another important route shut down. So I think that's what the select board was trying to balance. But I think that, you know, the more important issue is how are we going to maintain this infrastructure? I mean, all of us towns, you know, the towns in Connecticut and the towns in Massachusetts, we have failing infrastructure and not enough money.
Yeah, Sharon years ago faced all the town roads were in very, very bad shape.
Right.
Just bit the bullet, got some state funding, but then created a big project where they spent, I think it was close to $7 million on doing over, I think it was about 65 to 70% of the roads, the ones that were in really horrible shape, and then moving on from there. The infrastructure, once it's left to crumble, it becomes even more expensive to fix and to plan how to fix it. And that's something I think that all communities are facing now, especially in the Northeast.
Yeah. Right.
Now let's go on to the Berkshire school districts, because this also is something that applies to people here in Connecticut and who listen in New York, and that is declining enrollment. What do you do to combat that? And you've got two South Berkshire school districts seriously talking about merging now.
Yeah, this was really inevitable. The Southern Berkshire Regional School District, which is borders Connecticut, has had the most serious decline in the number in the enrollment of students, and they have a high school complex in Sheffield, along with an elementary school and a middle school, and there are just not enough students to for which that facility was built, and so they're inevitably looking to find some cost-effective way to maintain, you know, education for the kids, and they're just going to have to merge with the Berkshire Hills Regional School District, which is just north in Great Barrington. And it's school district committees have resisted formally engaging in talks on this because people are loyal to their independent, to their school districts, but it's going to have to happen somehow, because it's not going to be without its difficulties, because students are going to have to be bused a little bit more, a little distance.
Yeah, I think, and that's one of the big objections.
Yeah,
for,
I mean,
parents,
it's a sprawling district here.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll see how in any case, they're just beginning to really formally talk about this kind of merger, and which is, as I say, it was inevitable. They had to do it.
All right. This is, I think, if there weren't such a thing as marijuana sales in Great Barrington bringing in money, that horse racing would have had a chance to come back to Great Barrington. But I think Great Barrington is pretty much set against bringing horse racing back to the fairgrounds.
Well, there's certainly a lot of vocal people against it.
Well, that's true. You know, I can remember the horse racing when it was taking place in the fairgrounds a number of years ago, and you know, this is not one of the elite tracks like Saratoga, for example. These are tracks where, you know, the horses are not your top tier thoroughbred racing horses. And so it's a little sketchy, but the fairgrounds has been really sort of dormant, and this is a way of there's a track, Suffolk Downs, in the eastern part of the state that is thinking that maybe they could expand their season and horse racing offerings by at least having an abbreviated racing season at Great Barrington, reviving it. But it's going to, and the controversy is that at the state level, it requires some enabling legislation, and it's been proposed.
And apparently the state can override the local permits. So.
Yeah.
So there's a feeling of frustration that, that at the local community doesn't have any say over whether or not this happens.
Right.
I mean, I think, you know, most of the objections to the horse racing has really been compassion for the horses. There is a little issue of whether it would increase traffic, but it's proposed to take place in October when most of the summer traffic is gone, and it's unlikely to be any worse than the summer traffic. So I think that's not the major objection, but the major objection is people are concerned that this is cruel to horses.
Well, it's well founded.
Yeah.
You know, some of these horses are, you know, are actually lame, and so what they do is they give them a shot of what's called butazolidine, which allows the horse to run because they can't feel the pain in their hoofs.
You know, that's the whole thing. What people don't realize is that the seedy part of horse racing and the bad part of horse racing are the 25 to 30% of the trainers that do that. What people don't realize is that these horses, whether they're run on small tracks or large track, the thoroughbred horses, it's in their lineage. That's what they're born to do.
Yeah.
It's like people that watch the horses pull the carriages around New York. It's what they're born and what they're bred to do. Now, how the people that own them and run them treat them is where the concern should come in.
You know, the horses that are raced at Saratoga or Belmont or any of the first-rate tracks, you know, they're treated pretty well because, you know, they're not only were they expensive, but you know, they're valuable. But at a track like Saratoga, I mean, like the fairgrounds here in Great Barrington, those horses are not those elite horses, but still, the problem is actually that they start running the horses at 2 years old, and at 2 years old, the bones and in a horse's hoofs and legs are not yet fully formed. You shouldn't even ride a horse until they're 3 years old, at least.
Our most good trainers, whether they're small trainers or not, the good trainers will take the 2 year olds and train them for one full year. Train them. And build them up so when they're 3 year olds, all of a sudden they're ready to race, they're in great form, and either they are excellent horses and move up into the big races or they don't. But that's the normal accepted procedure. But once again, there are slimy business owners in every business, and it's no different in horse racing. And and it involves an animal, and that's what really arouses the public interest.
Yep,
upset. True. Well, we'll move on from horse racing to 16 immigrants were granted citizenship at the Norman Rockwell Museum.
It was a wonderful ceremony. It was really heartwarming. I mean, there at the gallery at the Norman Rockwell Museum, it was packed with their friends and relatives and supporters of people and their teachers from the wonderful Literacy Network of South Berkshire, which is teaches these immigrants English, they need it, and provides them with guidance and classes in becoming U.S. citizens. And it was just so heartwarming. It was, I can't tell you, it was... It was really, current atmosphere where you have this thug for a president who hates, who's just promoting this kind of racism against
immigrants
and people of color. It's just, it was such a contrast to that, you know.
In fact, I mean, David was there and reported to me that. In the ceremony, I mean, there was. If you look at our podcast, David recorded the judge who oversaw the ceremony and the giving of the oath, and the judge was really wonderful, welcoming immigrants and talking about how we're all immigrants, and then after the oath is administered, we don't have on the podcast, but the ceremony includes a tape, a welcome from President Trump. And apparently, you know, there was silence in the audience and
it's
no
deafening.
Applause at the end of that. And, you know, the tape seemed so jarring and out of place. And
a lie.
and his message also was, now you can all conform to be how we are now that you're lucky enough to be in the United States. So, it wasn't even, sincere welcome, even So it was kind of harsh. So I didn't realize that they would that would be part of the ceremony, but
it is. Okay.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've never been there, but it is. And with this president, it's particularly upsetting.
All right. So we only have about 2 minutes left, and
yeah,
we want to get on
okay,
to the.
David is going to walk out now because he has to take his son to school. So I'll finish up on this.
The student-led climate strike.
You know, we had a very big turnout for this student-led climate strike, but it got out of hand in Great Barrington, and we are upset that that it may have turned some people against the student efforts. Apparently, there were a few students who, the demonstration was welcomed on the library lawn in Great Barrington, which is right downtown. And there was a very big turnout. The public schools bused kids, and nobody was penalized for missing school. All the private schools also allowed kids to take the day off and come to this. So there was a great deal of community support, but there were three students who decided that showing up wasn't enough, and they started. They said this demonstration isn't going to mean anything unless we take it to the streets, and unless we take the streets. So they went into the streets, stopped all traffic. Traffic was backed up on either side of Great Barrington for miles, and as somebody in a letter pointed out, spewing exhaust out of their cars while the students held them up, in the name of climate change. So it was a very, unfortunately, it was an unpleasant day. There were three students who were arrested. It left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. The cops came and tried, to politely ask the students to get back onto the streets, off the street and back onto the lawn, but they didn't. So we have a report on that, but we also have a very interesting letter from a 17-year-old girl who wrote in afterward and said that she was so sorry that members of her generation had done this, because climate change is so important, and instead of being negative and contentious, there were so many ways in which her generation could begin to contribute to a movement to stop climate change. And she laid out, four or five things like recycling and a number of different things. And her letter got tremendous response. I mean, there were a number of people, including a former school teacher in England. I'm not sure why she's reading the Berkshire Edge unless she thinks we're in Berkshire, England, but she wrote a very beautiful and thoughtful letter about, how important it is for youth to get involved. So, in the long run, I think it will be a lesson to everybody, but it was an unpleasant day, and it should have been a peaceful demonstration. And it would have been much more impressive had it just been
peaceful.
A big turnout to show that kids were really concerned.
All right. Well, those stories and many, many more.
Yes.
But theberkshireedge.com. And we'll speak to you next week.
Yes. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
Take care.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air on Robin Hood Radio.